My name is Dr. Tar.
My name is Professor Feather.
My name is the Midnight Gadfly.
What's my line? My name is Dr. Head. And we are experiencing...
All right, ladies bitches. And gentlemen, bitches, let's not single fishes. People out. I said ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I meant fishes.
Yeah, let's talk to the assholes, the pricks, whatever, you know.
This Lurie, episode, you're so fishes. Oh, no, sorry.
You're so fish.
Sit fishes.
The fishes.
Sit fishes. Oh, he did the Lou Reed deed. There's just no going back now. Okay, this episode is a tribute to Bruce Campbell. We are watching his self-titled meta movie called My Name is Bruce.
All right,
I'm going to preface this just the reason I picked this is because it has a nostalgic value to me, because we got to go see the movie in the theater when it came out with Bruce Campbell there. My son was a huge Bruce Campbell fan. Huge
Very cool.
Evil Dead. And so we got to, there was a question and answer. And so, and then we watched the movie and I was expecting the movie to be so-so. I really enjoyed it, and it was especially enjoyable with a crowd. You know, you had a bunch of people there that were, you know, fans of Bruce Campbell. Fans, so it was, So just everything that was going on was amazing. And I think the one thing that everybody walked out of there with was, wow, I didn't expect that to be that violent, which was great. So My Name is Bruce is basically a send up to himself, where he is this kind of prima donna actor that is making B movies, not necessarily succeeding. His agent doesn't necessarily get him the movies he wants. He's still.
And who's his agent?
It is Ted Raimi, yeah. And Ted Raimi plays several roles, in this movie, which is great. And but he thinks that he's going to fire his agent for getting him Caveman Alien 3, 2 and 3,
yes.
3 and 4. His agent says, I have a big birthday surprise for you. So great he doesn't surprise. Know what that big is. Yeah, great, big surprise. So when this whole thing comes about, he thinks it's a setup to be kind of like a movie where he gets to play the hero, but it's not necessarily that way. So I don't know how many of you have seen this prior to us, you know, deciding to do this or me deciding that we're going to do this as an episode. So I would really like to know what you guys thought of it. So let's start with Dr. Head.
I had never seen this before.
Okay.
So this was my first time. I know I need to see it again because my first reaction was not a positive one.
We'll go at it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was, I mean, I like the idea of Bruce Campbell playing a very particular view of himself, kind of exaggerated the prima donna. You know, I got that, but it became a very one note performance, like the same snarkiness. And like by a half hour in, I'm like, oh Jesus, I'm done with this movie. You know? It was like the Three Amigos meets Ghostbusters, kind of like the real demon and he's being called in to fight. And I kind of get that. I like the formula. And I like there's all the nerdiness and the fandom and kind of playing with all those tropes.
Well,
he leans into that. I mean, I like that fact about it. It's not that it wasn't parts that weren't enjoyable. And I like the whole the villain. It was like straight out of like the Big Trouble in Little China kind of thing. Yep. There's like these elements that I'm seeing in here, you know?
Yeah, which is so bizarre.
Where it is. It is. There's a lot of goofiness to it. And so I can appreciate it. And I know tofu. I need to see it again. And maybe I'll like it better because I thought I like Bruce Campbell. And I like movies that kind of play on that notion of playing yourself, but an exaggerated version or a complete opposite version of who that you really are as a person. You know, like this is the end. Does that? You know, so I like that. So I know I need to give it another view. So, but I'll stop right there.
I think it's a good one. You said it's a good one where you watch it with other people. that are appreciating it. There's a there's a different value for that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
There's a lot of movies like that. I believe it.
Certainly.
Yeah. So, Professor Feather, what did you think?
It was like a Sam Raimi movie. Only when Sam Raimi was just starting out.
Half the Raimi. Yeah.
Half the Raimi. It was pretty Sammy.
It was pretty Sammy. Not enough Raimi.
Raimi man.
No, Raimi man, yes. No, I you know, I enjoyed it because of what it is. You know, I enjoyed it for what it is. No, for no other reason. You know, is it good?
It's a big joke.
Is it good? Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not great, but I enjoyed it quite a bit. And his snarkiness, I didn't mind at all. That just kind of drove in the, you know,
well, that,
the spike of, you know, his character. But yeah, I'm, you know. Because it had a lot of the stereotypical, you know, tropes going on, and you know there's a lot of that. But it's also, by the same token, it's meant to be a parody of somebody who is, I guess, you know, he kind of did transcend the B circuit, you know, when he got into some roles that were not B roles by any means, I didn't think, but you know. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was kind of fun, and I liked the gore. I liked, you know, I liked all the special effects.
Yeah.
But it did really remind me of a Sam Raimi movie. Which isn't a bad thing.
No.
Yeah.
When I think it to me, it's the Jay and Silent Bob of that universe, you know what I mean? Like it is an inside movie where you have to, if you have not seen all the other movies or know anything about it, that movie means absolutely fucking nothing to you, and it would be utterly stupid.
Yeah,
you know, and
it was a niche movie.
Yeah, it was funny when Kevin Smith, they're like, "Is this like an inside movie?" He's like, "No, anybody can watch this," and that's not true at all. Jay and Silent Bob, you have to have seen everything that he did.
he's making so much self-referentiality,
right?
And that's what I love. I love that.
Yeah.
Tar.
And that's what this does, though, too.
What'd you think, Tar?
Oh, you know, it kind of like Feather. It was fun. It was fun. And, Bruce Campbell, he plays that character a lot. I'm sorry. It's the same, you know, that same snarkiness through a lot of his stuff. You know, I mean, that's kind of what, I enjoyed it, I guess.
I think that's the brilliance, though, is that they basically said that Bruce Campbell is like his characters. You know what I mean? Give me some sugar, baby. I love the intro.
Yeah. And I was, but I, you know, I started watching, like, afterwards, I started watching what was his last Ash versus the Evil Dead.
You know, the kind series? Of thing, and, you know, oh, that series.
Yeah, the
is
one
great,
that kind of makes him. Yeah,
I heard the series is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of something. You remember what he did, Briscoe County Jr.?
Oh,
he still has that snarkiness, you know, that's just what he did. That was his character. You know,
Briscoe County Jr. is great. I'm just, you know.
It is. It's a lot of fun. It's like a Wild Wild West type thing going on. You know?
I'd rather watch that over Wild Wild West any day.
Well, oh, yeah. Well, even with Dr. Loveless? Come on. Just a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's what I said.
Wild, wild
talking about jumping the shark, that whole song.
I did too, yeah.
That whole thong was like the Moby Dick of
the Moby Dick
sitcom.
Gregory.
Okay.
Gregory Peckery. Yeah.
Gregory Peckery.
Speaking
thank
of
you, Frank Zappa.
Speaking of songs, that song, Guanji. That was a great fucking song.
Oh, and yeah, that was way, one of my
favorite parts.
Interlude, yeah. It was great.
Well, that and I love fun. I love the fact that after the sheriff got killed, it was just the one guy doing the song after that, right? And it kept progressing with the story. And then, okay, so we didn't mention, I think Tar mentioned this briefly, the bean curd. The whole idea that bean curd, well, and they don't tell you, they call it bean curd. It's tofu.
The protector of bean curd.
Right.
It's tofu.
It's tofu. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's so funny that, you know, the lady in the minivan, I'm going to go out and investigate.
I'm going to kid in the back. I don't care if you won. Eat your bean.
Yeah, right. You get saved by the bean curd. Well, and then the fact
but it's
there's a zaniness to it, like it's like a farcical kind of, you know. Yeah, and I can appreciate farce. Believe me, I totally get it. I just kind of wanted it to be a little funnier at places or better. But I need to watch it again. I will give it a fair chance.
I think the idea of it being a cartoon is great, because especially when we move into our next episode, you know, which is very much, you know, plays into that. I think these two pair really well together. You know what I mean? Just because of the way they go at things, and the way the main person is almost kind of oblivious, but then has a renaissance of, you know, whatever. I don't know. I like the kid who played his number one fan. Like, I like the fact that he was trying to be all punk and stuff like that, and then he's defending his movie love, and then he's naming off these movies. I wish I would have gone back and looked at the movies, because one of them was like some of them was like, oh, he did the Stoogeville or whatever, you know, and then he did the massive chin or something like that. There was a bunch of these that were not true, and the cave alien was one that didn't. Others were true. You know what I mean? Like, he had some really bad ones, you know, really bad movies. And, you know, and to him to own it, that just says Bruce Campbell's awesome.
I liked really how they kept referencing Moontrap all the time. when he's like throws the old lady out and she's like rolling on the ground and sits up and talks about him fucking being in Moontrap. Oh, that made me laugh.
Yeah. What I think one of the best things was the dismissal of the chainsaw. Like, the kid has this custom made chainsaw, and he goes into it, and he goes, those things are unwieldy. And then there's no more chainsaws for the rest. You're like, you expected there would be.
That was good.
I like that.
Lean into the trope we're not going to go down that. We're acknowledging all the tropes and which ones we're going to lean into and which ones we're going to reject.
And he shot a bunch of the people from the town. Because he's running away from Guan Yu, and they're like, stop shooting! Bang!
Get out of my way!
They did nothing to make him a hero. Like, there was nothing about what they did.
He's not redeemed,
That was a big joke,
It was.
Kind of like Ghost of Mr. Chicken, but...
Yeah.
But really, with violent ends,
So Ash versus the Evil Dead was produced, that show was produced by Sam Raimi, and the first episode was directed by Sam Raimi, which, if you watch the whole series, you can tell that the first episode was Sam Raimi and the rest were not. They were good, but Sam Raimi just does things that, I don't know, just crazy things. But he had him in that same Winnebago. So when he starts the series, like 15 years later, he's in that same Winnebago somewhere, you know.
Well, and the time stuff,
Just... Well, in Ash vs. the Evil Dead, he's got, like, it shows him, instead of doing the thing with the arm where he's, and he's doing all that assembly thing, it's him with a girdle, you know, trying to, and a wooden hand and a fake hand, where he's trying to, and he's about to, he's about to go out, you know, to pick up women.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It is. Yeah. Well, and the behind the scenes for that is great, because it's, again, Sam Raimi torturing Bruce Campbell by throwing, he's got a paintbrush with paint on it, just slapping him in the face. Splattering. Well, I love that too, where they're on the set.
Kind of like a feather with what's her name? When we were doing the Beast movie, which is, we need to do it again. She needs to sit in the gore a little bit longer. What was her name?
Oh, Marcia.
Marcia. Yeah.
Marcia, Marcia, Marcia.
Yeah. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia.
Anyway.
Now she's all mushy, mushy, mushy.
Move on.
Jerry, cut that out.
There's gore fetish. Fetish.
No.
It was punishment for a. It was punishment for a prima donna.
You've been a bad actress.
It was.
Thank.
But I have to give her credit.
Yes.
She never complained.
Nope.
During the whole smelly event, she never complained. because she, picked, she knew she'd fucked up.
Yeah, because she picked other times.
She's a good person.
Yeah, you know? She's great.
She's a good person.
Awesome. She's awesome. You know, she just
you know, as much as I got back at her, it also won my respect because I said, man, you know, she just turned that right around. She did not do what I
And we actually, that was the only time we had a hot chick in any of our stuff.
That's true.
No, we had her in a lot of stuff. So, she also coined the phrase, okay, hug's over.
Well, by necessity, that's still a little frightening. Hashtag me too begins with hashtag me too begins here.
No, anyway. it's funny. It was the most innocent way to say, okay, hug's over. Like the two people that were in that were like almost like, yeah, it's, I wish I need to find a copy of that. You know, Maximum Dingus.
Yes.
Because, she was really good in that. Yeah, everybody was. Pretty much everybody was. I'm not going to name names. All right. So let's My name is Bruce.
My name is Dingus.
Right. So let's go into, like, the ability to make a movie like this is because his celebrity is as much as his acting, right? Like, he has become a cult of personality.
He is.
Right?
Kind of like Vincent Price.
Right, you know, right. There's there's a lot of people that are like that. So if we go back and we talked about some of it, we talked about Briscoe County Jr. But he was also in a bunch of those crazy TV shows that Sam Raimi produced. That's what Sam Raimi went into for a very long time before he did Spider-Man, where he was producing like Xena and, you know, all kinds of crazy fantasy stuff. And Bruce was part of all of those. But I think the breakout.
All those,
Well, and there was one where he was like a prisoner in ancient England, you know, that he was the main, the Corsican something or other. I don't know.
I kind of remember
that. Right? It was terrible. Terrible. But then you get into Briscoe County Jr., which was funny because I didn't watch Briscoe County Jr. when it was first out. Professor Feather did. And my friend Roger, right? You guys were just, we would go to conventions and you'd be like, we're all Briscoe County Jr.'s on. We're going to watch Briscoe County Jr. And I'm like, I don't get it. But later when my son was, you know, going, well, it's Bruce Campbell, let's watch it. And we ended up buying the DVD full series box set and watching them over and over and over. They're so good. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they've got some actors that went on to do all kinds of other things. The guy that was his lawyer became the guy on Boston Legal. Was it that was the that had the Asperger's?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Same guy. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
So I thought that was great. What else have we seen Bruce Campbell in?
Burn Notice.
Oh, Moontrap. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
Moontrap. Burn Notice.
Burn Notice, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a really good show.
Yeah, I thought I liked his character in that show, you know, and he wasn't super snarky or anything in that. You know, he just had that attitude that he has, you know, but it's.
Yeah. That means Bruce Campbell. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the character. I thought they did a good job on the character.
But he still had the.
And he did it well.
Yeah, he still had the Bruce Campbell thing because he was always like with some woman that was paying his bills. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. He was kind of a little on the shady side.
Yeah, and but he was CIA. You know what are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
He
was a character straight out of Tom Robbins.
Yes, his chemistry with Jeffrey Donovan was great, too. Yeah, you know. But I also liked his chemistry with who played Jeffrey Donovan's mom, Cagney and Lacey. What's her name? Oh shit. Cagney and Lacey, and she just kept smoking the whole time, and she was one of my favorite characters on that show.
Oh yeah, the blonde one.
Yes, yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I always called the show "Gag Me and Lace Me." So I don't remember which one
did you like better.
I don't remember which one. It's all blur.
It was Sharon Gless.
Have you been Cosby'd?
Sharon Gless.
Sharon Gless, yeah. Yeah, because the other one was Tyne Daly. Yeah, Tyne Daly also came
out. Tyne Daly.
Oh, it's Tyne Daly.
No, it wasn't Tyne Daly. Tyne Daly was the other one.
Oh, no, I'm just laughing.
I think Tyne Daly was in,
she's just narrowly. She's just kind of narrowly looking.
She's manly looking, yeah.
Smoking a cigarette.
A stitch of Tyne Daly.
No, that's also Sharon Glass. That's the one that's sitting there smoking. Or Glass, or whatever her name
Glass.
Is.
Glass, yeah. G-L-E-S-S.
Yeah.
Glass.
Glass? Yeah. Glass.
The Glassing. Glass.
But anyway, next time you think of that series, it's Gag Me and Lace Me. And it makes the series a lot better. Not really. Well,
it makes it more titillating.
I got on here thinking I was going to see something, and it's not happening.
I'm not being gagged or laced.
I see no gagging or lacing. Sorry.
All right. So to get back to My Name is Bruce, what are the characters that Ted Raimi plays? He plays the agent, right? Who?
And the guy that goes changes the population each time.
Well, yeah, that's the Luigi, you know, like
Luigi, yeah. Which is funny because he walks out with a fucking.
Doesn't he do an Asian
too? The whole part.
He's the guy that. Yeah, he's the Asian guy too. That is eating bean curd, you know, and he has to and Bruce has to steal all of his bean curd to throw at Guan Ji, in order to because Guan Ji can't let it go.
So is that considered inappropriate now? Oh, I'm sure it is, but
no.
Why?
I think it depends on who you talk to. Here's
a Boris Karloff, seriously. Fu Manchu. That's
no. I'm going to go back.
Because Myrna Loy's in it.
I'm going to go back to Jack Nicholson.
She's hot Asian. Sorry.
Let's go back to Jack Nicholson, where Johnny Carson says, "Are you a method actor?" He goes, "No, it's called acting, not being." So I'm like, as an artist, anybody who is an artist should be able to fucking get anything he wants, go to wherever they want. And that should be the freedom. Like, if art is not free, nothing is free. And those are great because you know it's Sam Raimi. It plays into the, or not Sam Raimi, but Ted Raimi. And you know it plays into what Ted Raimi does as an actor.
Oh, you're misreading me because I thought it was funny.
No, I know you did. I know you did. But you were asking if it was inappropriate. I reject.
I don't want to fuck. I'm sorry. The accent just cracks me up.
It was great. Yeah. You know? So I said,
across the board, I don't care what you use it in. It just cracks me up.
If we have to get pissed off at that, we have to get pissed off at the English people.
I can get pissed off a lot.
Yeah, at the English people doing an American accent. Get a fucking American.
It's funny too.
I was surprised, like hearing Rick Grimes really talk, like, wait a minute, what? Rick? Oh, no. You're English? God damn it.
I'm sorry. It's just going to fucking happen. Too? And you tell me shit. No one.
You're boring too? To us,
I can't. There's no American who can play these roles. You know? Sorry. Yeah. It's crazy.
What was that? Kids in the Hall.
It was Preacher too.
Real quick. Rick Shaw.
Yeah. Preacher and Tulip.
Eskimo Detective.
Yeah. Preacher and Tulip. They're both British too.
Yeah. I love that. Rick Shaw. I want to make a character named Rick Shaw.
That's one of the Shaw brothers, I think. Yeah.
Right?
Do you want to bring me?
I think it's a Shaw cousin.
Okay. Shaw Jason.
Shaw Jason. Yeah.
It was Shaw dropping.
Shaw's the revenge.
Yeah. It's appropriate that this episode should go off the rails in a good way.
So the other one.
Well, yeah, the other one will be. Yes, as I said, the next one's going to be
quite bonkers.
Yeah, quite bonkers.
Quite bonkers.
Oh, so with the
yes.
My bunker meter is registering. Yes, it will be
our bunkers with a, we, do, with a, we dipped with into the family zone.
Funny. Okay, back.
All right, so my name is Bruce.
My name is Bruce.
One of my favorite parts is that they want to end the movie.
Welcome, Bruce.
Right? because it then becomes a movie. Yeah. Like it was always a movie. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like and he's like, well, that's a downer ending, you know? And he's like, let's do the happy ending. And so they do this beatific, you know, 50s, and she even has the 50s attire on, you know, where they're doing this stuff. And then they end the movie. They don't even, like, there's no other, like, no, that's not a good ending or whatever. They just end the movie, and it's
end
done.
End on a happy note.
Yep.
Right.
That's which, all right.
I thought it was great, yeah.
Breaking the convention, not quite breaking, yeah, and it's like breaking the fourth wall, you know, it's coming out of the
Rocky Horror
of the
Picture.
Movie.
I
love those moments. Like I said, there's a lot to the movie that I liked, but I just want to see it again. Give it some time and maybe I'll appreciate it more. But,
yeah. I mean, cool.
When the mother is burning all of his stuff and she's got the doll and he's like, no, that's a limited edition. You know, he's freaking out. And then when they're getting ready to drive away, he's reaching in there to try to pull it out of the burning barrel.
I don't think it's too much. I really thought about making a couple of stand-ups of Tar and Feather.
Oh, really big ones?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, life size. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They could do it. There's a
yeah,
and it's not that all that much. There's like what is that? And here at the Myers, here they have like this little print shop that will do it. Actually, that's where I tried the T-shirt thing.
I got a life-size standee of Death's Head from the cover.
Nice.
Kim cut it out and it made it for like going to book shows. So yeah, you guys should totally get standees.
We should, yeah, and we get a bunch of those. Tar and Feather standees, we get about a dozen of them, and then we just place them randomly at Cinema Wasteland everywhere. Yeah. You know, we'll just stop
we did
and
that
put
with VHS tapes at the time. Yeah,
and none of them, you didn't have to pick any of them up. They all, you know, somebody's got those tapes.
Somebody,
you know.
They disappeared.
Yep.
Yeah. The cleaning ladies, yes.
They probably the cleaning ladies.
Oh, I don't think so.
They took them home and masturbated to them.
They did, yes. We have a lot.
I just put a piece of tape over the
Latina fan base, like, skyrocketed.
They just put a piece of tape over it and re-recorded their own shows over time.
Yes, that's what they did.
Oh, a new blank tape. Free, yes, sweet.
Hey, Poppy.
I watched people pick those up that were not the cleaning staff. So I saw a bunch of people almost immediately after you leave it, you know, and we put on there like, take this, you know, people looked at them and they put it, you know, put it in their bag or in their whatever. So yeah, that was good. I think that was good promotion, you know, cause that's why you guys are so big it's why you guys are so big as you are now. I waited till he took it. Jerry for the win.
All right, famous hell.
Famous.
Oh my god. That was fun.
Okay, listeners, if you're still listening, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we're almost at 30 minutes. Can we get, really?
That's some good, banner.
Hey, what you been watching?
My name is Bruce.
My name's Bruce. What a quickening.
Let's talk about that.
I saw that movie.
Yeah. Well, I have a question. Was Guan Yi a reference to the design of Guan Yi the monster, a reference to anything?
No, that was a dinosaur in the Lost Valley.
Yeah.
But I mean
the Guan Yi was about like a dinosaur, like a T-Rex dinosaur.
Yeah, right. Was it? Valley of the Guan Yi. Yeah.
Allosaur. Duh.
Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's the one with the brontosaurus. Like, Allosaur. Excuse
that's
me,
that's what
Dr.
I said. Allosaur. Duh.
You're stupid, Dr. Head. You don't know it's dinosaurs in what movie.
That's just a Japanese one.
That's right.
Meanwhile, Jerry and the Midnight Gadfly titter in the background.
I distinctly heard tittering, yes.
That sounds like an Australian word. You're a big, you're a great big titter.
What the fuck is that tittering in the background? Oh,
my mother caught me. My mom caught me, you know, tittering again.
Pay no attention. It's not anything.
Pay no attention.
So much for tittering.
It's just one big fucking titter.
I looked up tittering XXX.
Tittering shot.
It's a new social media. So I was tittering on tit.
What's tittering?
I was twit fucking.
Well, now it is X.
And I'm spent. No socks.
That's why it's only one X. That's
it. Yeah. The AI's going, wait. I need to catch up here. I like that.
Who is this midnight gadfly?
This is Arkady Pavlov with a lovely song called Lost in Love. You can find this on archive.org, where we get the majority of our music.
This is part of that subgenre, paint love.
Paint love.
Hashtag tittering fool.
It's kind of in between, you know.
Tittering fools. That's our new band.
That's right.
Tittering taint. Yes. I'm titter, and this is taint.
I'm a tittering. I'm a tittering.
and you have been tittering to.
You taintsters.
Taint nothing.
Taint nothing. Nitwit.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Where can we be found?
Insane Radio.
The tittering
that,
verse.
I'm sorry. That didn't
Where can we
well
be like found?
That.
Kind of like that was, in between?
That,
or?
That was my impersonation of Dr. Tar. Oh. UnsaneRadio.com. Unsane Radio on Facebook. Unsane Radio is on Blue Sky.
And
Tar
Yonder.
And Feather. Where's Tar and Feather? Where are Tar and Feather? Who knows?
They're on the YouTubes?
Yes. And Facebooks.
Yeah.
That's right. They're everywhere.
And speaking of everywhere, Heavy Metal Horror Podcast is on YouTube. Heavy Metal Horror Podcast is on the Facebooks. And Montag Lewis is on the Instagrams. I'm like, wait a minute, which one am I on? Why am I on? I'm everywhere. I can't know. Yes, there we are. And We Freaks, WEEFREEKZ, family-friendly webcomic on the Facebooks, written and drawn lovingly by our own Blue Fez, down in Boise.
The boys.
The boys. The Boise. The Boise.
That's playing when we're cruising a bar in Iceland.
Well, and this is
come
where.
Here, come here. Here's my friend Feather. This is.
Midnight Gadfly's learning to play the bass, and he's learning a song by Tainted Love.
Tainted Love, yeah.
Or wait, it's not. What's the Tainted Love is the song. What's the band?
My name is Bruce.
Pucker Pooper.
Flock of Seagulls. Duran, 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 Duran.
Duranaria.
It's the environmental group called My Name is Spruce.
My favorite one is Overactive Bladder. Punk band. Came out of the Yellow River, China. Yangtze. Yellow River by IP Daily.
Well, that would be our new cartoon called We Leaks.
That's right.
Tiger in the bed, clawed balls.
I have a water bed. It didn't used to be one, but it is now.
And stopping.
I just waited to stop the recording so you could say something. Say it again.